Space News 87. Large, fierce conflict in the Andromedan Viera. Hello, thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are very well today. This is Marie, with another edition of Space News. Welcome to my channel. I take my information very seriously, and for whoever has eyes to see. I am writing this on the morning of June 20th, 2025. To better understand what I am talking about, it may be advisable to watch Space News episodes 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, and 86, especially episode 86, as this one is the direct continuation of it. As I informed in my past episode, Space News 86, the cabal that governs Earth and the evil and obscure Galactic Federation that is behind it, managed to set a very large occupation army inside the Biosphere Nature part of the Andromedan Viera, behind their backs, as the Andromedan representatives declare that they knew nothing about them. As the Viera is a multicultural hub, they managed to install their people inside slowly, without suspicion, until they amassed a 6,000, or more, strong army inside. The problem is that they dug in, underground, in the natural part of the Viera, in the large areas which mostly consist of tropical and subtropical jungle. They spread out in guerrilla warfare units inside, very much like the Viet Cong did during the Vietnam War. What they demanded was the reinstatement of the former 12 Galactic Federation representatives and our unconditional exit from the Viera. Should we not comply with their demands, they would attack the Andromedan civilian population in a protracted way, and they would also continue to attack us as well. The Andromedans, due to their culture and way of being, depended on us, the Triad, Antaria Irma and Taygeta Alcyone Council, to remove them from their large ship, as they had no way to defend themselves. I will now continue informing what happened next, right where I left off in Space News episode 86. The Antarians isolated the Andromedan population towards the front of the ship as best as they could, thus preventing another hostage situation from developing, while Taygetan and Irma forces studied the situation. It was determined that the task of removing the several thousand human mercenaries from the interior of the Viera should be entrusted to Irma Special Forces units, while Taygetan Hashmalim should move to defensive positions isolating the entire perimeter of the conflict, while they also pushed towards the center of the Viera where the mercenaries were located, with advanced APC armored vehicles wherever they could be used, thus concentrating the enemy forces in the smallest area possible. Taygetan forces would also provide air cover at all times with our advanced stack assault crafts. The Irma entered the action with no less than 600 elite warriors who would also provide their three top super warriors with anything they would need. Those three super elite tigers would take point during the entire operation. That elite Irma unit is called the Feline Gods of War. The Irma units boarded 100 Taygetan stack crafts provided by the starships Asterope and Atlas, and were flown directly into the heart of the Viera, into its deepest jungles, where they landed wherever they could find a big enough clear area, and the Irma ran out of their front ramps in full gear and armor, while under heavy fire many times. The stack assault craft lifted off again in a cloud of dust, mist, and flying leaves, while their turbines roared and their weapons returned fire, providing active cover for the cats on the ground, while filling the jungle with deafening cracking sounds of war. The Irma had been unleashed. Jungle warfare is what the Irma are most trained for. It's their turf, and where they shine the most, especially the tigers. Sending 600 elite Irma warriors into the Viera could only have one result: total enemy devastation in under 48 hours. At first, they worked by stealth, eliminating the enemy one by one, free claw, silently and with no weapons. They crept from behind silently, stalking them like the cats they are, and then they pulled them by their boots towards the bushes in under a second, where they were taken out in gruesome ways I cannot describe here on YouTube. At this stage, most of the enemy soldiers didn't even know what they were facing, what was hunting them from the depths of the jungle, or what was happening, even less so as our overflying stack assault craft were jamming all their communications with electronic countermeasures. The overflying stack craft also provided real-time aerial situation images for the IRMA and Tejetan ground forces below, as well as ground-penetrating sensor and radar data with the exact location of each tunnel, its entrances, depth, structure, and detailed mapping, and how many enemy soldiers were inside. This equipment found on the nose of each stack assault craft is also being used on Earth to find and map underground tunnels, dumps and bases. As the Tejetan Hashmalim Special Forces units advanced with armored vehicles towards the center, where the action was taking place and while under heavy air cover, the enemy forces started to get strangled more and more, even more so as their shallow underground tunnels were being devastated by the IRMA Special Forces units, using the data from the stack crafts. Nevertheless, they still put up a strong fight against the advancing Tejetan ground forces as they too were equipped with state-of-the-art kinetic and plasma weapons. Yet the advancing Tejetan forces and their armored vehicles, both wheeled and tracked, easily prevailed, forcing the retreating enemy towards the center of the Viera, where the IRMA awaited, stalking them from behind every bush. While the conflict was taking place, we received another video message from the same hideous person with whom I had talked before everything started, but this time it was Goriel and Nyshera who talked to him, shielding me from the bad experience, and I thank them for that. He was apparently in a place with walls made of dirt, so to look as if he were in some sort of a makeshift base underground in the Viera. He demanded that we remove all our forces from the Viera, or his forces would eliminate all the IRMA there, and he showed them a series of hideous images of piled-up dead IRMA as proof. The evident problem of the authenticity of those images is that among the dead IRMA, several leopards and panthers could be seen. When the IRMA do not task those subspecies with any combat situation, as combat is a lion's and tiger's only endeavor, as they are by far the largest and strongest of all the IRMA subspecies. The images were later analyzed and turned out to be only CGI manipulative garbage. Goriel asked the top IRMA general, Korakas, for a battlefield status so far. Korakas stated that they had zero IRMA casualties and zero wounded cats as well. As counter-manipulative strategies were being analyzed, like the possibility of turning off some Viera ceiling solar panels so the enemy soldiers could see that they were inside a very large starship, or the use of airborne loudspeakers hanging under stack crafts to order them to surrender, the IRMA decided to go all in a devastating, final, end-game attack. They swept all the enemy locations with overwhelming force, devastating what was left of them, and everything around in the process, as 600 elite-armed IRMA lions and tigers in full combat gear swept the area, invincible, unmatched and unchallenged. At this time, nearly 3,000 enemy soldiers, nearly all of them badly wounded, surrendered to the IRMA and the arriving Tejetan ground forces in armored vehicles, and were rounded up and placed in custody. Unfortunately, most of them would die in under 2 hours, but not because of their wounds, as I will describe below. The Viera had been freed from the invading mercenary forces in a horrendous and impressive example of raw IRMA power, all in under 48 hours. This is why they are considered the alpha predators of the galaxy. No IRMA was killed, wounded, or harmed in this incident, They simply swept over the enemy with overwhelming force and strategy. Although I must say that the Taijiten forces also had a lot to do with the victory, even though the heavy work was done by the cats, but our role in this conflict must not be underestimated. Our Taijiten forces suffered no casualties, and only a few were wounded, and are recovering well on board the starships, Asterope and Atlas. We also must report the damage of several stack crafts and armored vehicles, all of which are being repaired and placed into active service for operations on Earth. No Taijiten vehicle, aerial or ground, was lost during this operation. The use of enemy drones and robots was ineffective against our active electronic countermeasures and directed energy weapons from our stack assault crafts, which rendered them useless by frying their computers and chips, leaving them all nice and crispy. They were left like monuments of human DARPA ineptness, as they were left to rot in the mud while Taijiten and Irma forces used them as stepping stones, not to get their boots dirty. The use of energy weapons and plasma lasers was very extensive during this conflict, but a lot of standard kinetic weapons were also used by both sides, because kinetic projectiles cannot be easily deflected or neutralized by weak force fields and electronic countermeasures. The conflict was over. I want to share with you some important points about what we found in and on the captured and eliminated enemy soldiers, which explains their defiance and brainless behavior. This part we declassified, as it was never intended for publishing, although I feel it is very important simply to understand how those people, the soldiers, were being manipulated, or handled, their attitude, and why we had to proceed with such an overwhelming force against them. First thing I must say about the enemy forces is that they are not Alpha Centauri. They were, or some of them still are, fully human, and they have little to nothing to do with Alphratans, other than that they were using their identity as a cover to justify their entrance into the Viera. We found out that around 80% of the enemy soldiers were Central American mercenaries, and the remaining 20% were special operations ex-military and elite active military from the Cabal, that is, from NATO, basically. Not only from the US. Now the big question arises, what motivation do they have to continue fighting against such a well-organized and overwhelming technological army like ours? The answer to that question is extremely important and is what we declassified. They are not regular soldiers, not regular human beings, they no longer think, they only react like biological robots, and that is why they continued to run against us wave after wave, in a brainless zombie-like manner, even when we were mowing them down with overwhelming effectiveness. We first suspected that something was not normal in them when we observed the irises of the enemy soldiers. It was completely destroyed in many cases, and we wondered how they could even see. This was the case in both live and dead ones. The autopsies we conducted on them revealed that they were infested with a small, black parasitic worm that lodges inside their brains, especially around the eye sockets, and on the optic nerve, and in some cases inside the eyeball itself. This worm was later isolated and analyzed by our onboard laboratories on the starship Asterope. It turned out to be a highly sophisticated genetically engineered worm, based on cysticis. This genetically engineered worm destroys the frontal cortex by physical invasion and by using a secreted neurotoxin we managed to isolate, with this, effectively zombifying its victims for a moderate time, until it causes their death. But in the meantime, the victim is very easily influenced by other artificial means. They demonstrated no logic, fear, no interest in personal safety, or in conserving their own lives, and no empathy at all. They behaved like raved creatures, which still charged despite missing limbs. Besides the worms, We also found artificial intelligence chip implants inside the skulls of some of the soldiers, also towards the frontal cortex, rendering them some kind of cyborg. The low-end, Central American mercenaries usually had the worm implants, perhaps because they were cheap to install, or easier, and their commanding officers, ex-military, and so on, usually had the chips, although both the worms and the chips were found in some of them regardless of their type. We also found artificial implants surgically placed in their eyes, some sort of permanent night vision cyborg augmentation, that also transmitted real-time video data to their handlers. We also found a microwave-controlled, grain-of-rice-sized explosive charge logged behind their eyeballs, to remotely eliminate them if captured, and that explains why even if nearly 3,000 enemy soldiers, mostly badly wounded, managed to surrender, they were nearly all found dead just a few minutes to hours after their capture. We also found evidence of genetic tampering on the non-Central American remaining 20%. They seem to have augmented mitochondrial capacity after some kind of genetic super soldier treatment, and all of them show evidence of being under the effect of several types of metabolic enhancement and brain-altering substances. Coming back to the armament, they also used sound weapons extensively, of the lethal vibratory kind and also those designed to alter the perception of their enemies, inducing fear and psychotic paralysis. Fortunately, the combat gear and shields of all our forces were very effective in countering this kind of weapon. As an interesting note related to this, the Irma, as well as their wilder kin, the lions and tigers on Earth, also use a very strong, low, infrasonic fear-inducing growl when stalking their prey. This low-pitched growl causes prey to lose reaction time due to the intense paralyzing fear it induces, making it easier to hunt. We still suspect that there may be some mercenary cells hiding within the Viera, but they must be few and far between. We are continuing our sweep of the area, but as the days pass, it seems increasingly unlikely. As for Ekata, the highly telepathic, dangerous oversized garden slug that resides in the swampy areas of the Viera, it is nowhere to be found, and it was not seen during this conflict. We haven't looked for it either, but we also suspect that it may have had something to do with all this mess, if not, everything, to do with it. To understand why I just said that, I invite you to watch my video about Ekata, if you haven't already. We will deal with this added problem at its right time, and it may be a task for the Irma again, and their expertise with everything that has to do with the astral. This will be all for today. As always, thank you for watching my video, and for liking, sharing, and subscribing for more. It helps this channel grow a lot. And I hope to see you here next time. With much love and appreciation, your friend, Marie.